I'm going to be looking at Psalm 73. So if you've got a Bible, please turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is an interesting psalm. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been frustrated with your walk with God? Have you ever thought, this is kind of hard, or this ain't as fun as I thought it was going to be, or how come it is that these non-Christian, God-hating, not God-fearing, God-resisting people get all the breaks in life and get all the goodies? If you watch your TV at all and you flip through the channels, you'll notice that there's a lot of celebrating of people going on. You got Grammys and Emmys and Oscars and these shows where these people are just luxurious. They got gowns and fancy suits and they're handsome and they're gorgeous and it just seems like everything goes good for them. Man, isn't it wonderful? All these people so blessed, and then you watch these shows and they're funny, they're easy to talk to, they're gifted, talented, good looking, and rich. It is interesting how often the world looks really good. They look really blessed. They look really happy. Oh yeah, they have some setbacks here and there. Have you ever thought like that? I mean, have you ever thought, that's kind of a worldly way of thinking. Let's be honest. It is an interesting thing. I would think a more spiritual person wouldn't have those kind of thoughts. If somebody was really a solid believer, they'd probably be more stable. And then I turn to Psalm 73, and this is a psalm of Asaph. He's written a lot of the psalms, not just David. And this is an interesting one to me. This is verse 1. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So he's saying that the Israelis, those who love God, they're pure in heart. Surely God is good to us as a nation. And you could probably say, yeah, that kind of applies to Christianity. Surely God is good to the believers. Surely God's good to Christians. Yeah, isn't he wonderful? But, I don't know if you have that in your translation, but, what's coming? But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. So this guy's on some slippery slopes right now. This first, he starts off saying, God's good to Israel. Yeah, I would get that. But for me, as for me, I almost lost it, man. I got to be honest with you. This is somebody being transparent. This is somebody not trying to be all spiritual and all that. They're just being honest. It's not pretty. And I'm sure if you walked around in our lives and got into our heads for a little bit, you'd see some stuff up there that is kind of alarming. But let's be honest. Let's be transparent. We go through these things. And the enemy wants to really exacerbate this. He wants to stir it up. He wants to get us off base. And this guy's saying, that almost happened to me. I mean, I started thinking outside the box and it didn't go good. It didn't go well for me. Now listen, what happened? What happened? Well, here's what happened. I nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant. I watched the Oscars the other night, and I wish I was one of them. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. These guys are wicked on every level, and they're still prosperous. Let's see where this guy goes. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. I'm reading out of the NIV. They are free from the burdens common to man. They don't struggle with the stuff I struggle with. They don't struggle with the stuff most people struggle with. Those guys don't give a rip, and they're the ones that get the goodies. They don't even have the issues that are common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They're just prideful. They wear it like a necklace. Who needs God? Who needs religion? Who needs all that kind of stuff? I've got me, or I've got my millions, or I've got my contracts, or I've got whatever. They clothe themselves with violence, and not just, we're not talking about just physical violence, but just violent actions toward God, violent actions toward righteousness. From their callous hearts comes iniquity, And boy, there's a lot of that. You hear some of these people interviewed and you get a little personal in some of these interviews and you find out they're wicked. They're icky inside. You see, it says, from their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their mind knows no limit. They scoff and speak with malice in their arrogance. They threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. In other words, heaven or earth, they own it. They're the king of the hill. They've got everything together. If only you could be like me. If only you could walk in my shoes. If only you could know the things that I know. And they're bragging and they're putting it out there. And it's easy sometimes, especially for young believers, to think, I don't know that I want to do this Christian thing. It kind of ties my hands. You know, I've been to church. I don't really fit in. I'm not really comfortable. They sing weird songs. And I'd rather go down to Cheers where everyone knows my name. I don't want to go to this uncomfortable, weird place. Down here, we're having fun. We're shooting pool. We're throwing darts. We're laughing. We're talking. We're having a few. I unwind. That's my peeps. This church thing, not so much. So church looks weird. Church looks uncomfortable. Church looks, ugh. That's kind of what the world sees as they drive by and they just see a sign. The way, that's them. That's those guys. They don't know what goes on in here. But that's how the world sees us. You've got to know this. And in their arrogance, they drive by a church building like that and go, ugh. Well, churches have not done themselves a favor over the years, you know, especially since the early 70s. Church really did dumb things publicly. I mean, put it out there. You had the disgrace of several key pastors, and now people see televangelists and they go, ah, you know, they. So the church has a black eye. People driving by are like, who are those weirdos? Why are they there? We've got to make inroads into this world. We've got to bust in there because they don't see us as good. It's sometimes we don't see ourselves properly. Sometimes we don't really understand the world has nothing to offer. Because this guy, Asaph, being honest, and you got to admit, you've had these thoughts. Don't be fooled to think there's somebody that's so godly they don't deal with this stuff. It's easy for us to put people on pedestals. It's easy for us to put pastors or priests or, you know, religious folks on a pedestal and expect, you know, so much from them. And then when they do fall, it blows our mind like, huh? Why wouldn't they fall? Unless they're really hanging on to Jesus and walking in the Spirit, they're going to fall. You can't put people on a pedestal. That hurts them, and that hurts you. And that's what he's saying, is he's looking from a pedestal position. This is Asaph, one of the king's top worship leaders, and he's even struggling. And then look at verse 10. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have any knowledge? In other words, God didn't even know. God's out of touch. God doesn't get what's happening. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters. These guys even bless those around them. You've seen all these guys that have their entourage, this band of folks that follow them around. Why? Because they're giving them stuff, because they're paying for this and they're paying for that, and they're putting them up, or they're giving them drugs, or they're giving them alcohol, they're giving them whatever. And aren't they cool because they're hanging out with that guy with all the gold change or whatever. Now I'm thinking in the music world now and the rap world and that kind of set. There's this entourage thing. But that happens. It happens with the rich, the famous. And he's saying, okay, let's be real clear here. And he says, that is what the wicked are like. Always carefree. They increase in wealth. Oh man, I'd circle this one. This is the turning point. Surely in vain, I've kept my heart pure. Surely that was a waste of time. Surely that was stupid. I could have had all this fun like these guys. Surely in vain, I've done the good thing. Because I'm not getting richer. And I still have to deal with all the ills that are common to man. Nothing's going good for me. Oh, woe is me. This guy's getting his eyes on the world, off of Jesus, and he's got a big complaint. Don't go there. Now, none of us would think like that. None of us would be so silly as to be diverted off to the this path. But poor Asaph, he sure got sucked in. And then he says this. Verse 14, all day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. In other words, if I'd have put this out there, if I'd have been blabbing all that's on my mind right now, wouldn't look good for Christians, wouldn't look good for the church, certainly wouldn't look good for me. I'm not putting it out there, but I'm thinking it. So this guy's letting you in on his private thoughts. Now, maybe they're not his thoughts every second of every day, but they're out there. And this guy's saying, ah, thank God I didn't put it out there. I'm telling you in secret, I'm glad I didn't say it out loud. 16, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. It was oppressive. I couldn't understand it. It made me sad. It made me depressed. I tried to figure it out, and it was difficult. Look at the next line, and this is the key to the entire thing. Now listen, this is key. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood. Then it all became clear. Then I understood their final destination. When I went into the presence of the Lord, when I began to worship, when I began to get into my space with God, all of a sudden, everything changed for me. All of a sudden, my eyes could see clearly. All of a sudden, it's no longer oppressive. I see it. I get it. I don't want to be those people. I don't want to be anywhere near those people. I don't want their values. I don't want their riches. I don't want that. I want Jesus, whatever it costs, however difficult it is. That's where I want to be. Why? Because I can see while I'm worshiping, while I'm in the sanctuary of the Lord, I can see what their destiny is. I can see where that path takes them, and I can see where holiness takes me. It's here that things become clear. When we come into the space of God, whether the sanctuary is this building, this room, or that place in your truck when you're driving with the Lord, sitting out in your front yard, it doesn't matter. The sanctuary represents taking time to be still and be before God. When we take that time, life takes on a whole different view. Life looks so different. You can start worshiping and praising. When I started this talk today, and I was talking about the beauty, this is my Father's world, because you're taking time to see it. It's all around us. Take time to see it. Take time to go out and look at the heavenly sky. Oh, take time to just listen, to be still and know that He is Lord. Oh, that's what this is saying. Don't get wigged out. Don't get off kilter. Don't get your eyes on the things of this world. Don't care about that. See Jesus. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this world. Focus on Him. And all of a sudden, life becomes very clear. Your mission, your task, your reason, your purpose becomes clear. And maybe your job is raising kids every day. That's what you do. Maybe your job is to go to the office and put up with all the stuff they have you doing. Whatever it is, whatever God's got you doing, it's precious when you're in the Spirit. It's precious when you recognize you're with God. Whatever you're doing, you're with God. That's what makes it precious. That's what makes it incredible. Now, it hasn't changed quality. It hasn't changed character. It's when you're with God, your eyes begin to see what they weren't seeing a minute ago. You get your eyes off of God, you're going to see the wind and the waves, and you're going to sink. You get your eyes on Christ, you're going to walk on water. Come to me, he says. And Peter starts just walking to him. And he's like, yeah, I'm walking on water. Whoa, those are big waves. Down he goes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And all this other stuff, it becomes silly. Like you kept saying, you know, because you have your eyes on Jesus. So when I'm talking about this worldly stuff, you're like, nobody cares about that stuff. You're right. A person walking in Christ couldn't give a rip about the Oscars or the Emmys or the whatever else is. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. off they go. That's all momentary. It doesn't mean anything. And he says, when my heart was grieved and my spirit was embittered, I was a senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. When I got my eyes off of you and I got my eyes on this world and I start thinking these worldly thoughts and, oh, why is my car breaking down? Oh, why is my paycheck so small? And, oh, why is it my kids don't like me? And all that stuff. And I became a brute beast before you. Brute beast. A senseless animal. Have you ever been there with God? Yeah, you don't want to be there. I've been there plenty of times. Where I get my eyes on everything going wrong, and I got to catch up, and I get this, and I don't have any time, and I don't have any money, and this is all going bad. And God says, come into the sanctuary. Come here. Be still. And know I am God. Be still. I've got this. No matter how bad it looks, no matter how the wind and waves seem so giant, just come here. Come here. Come here. Just be still. Hang. Be still and know that I am God. And the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not up to you. God's got this. Now, it may not work out overnight. It may take a little bit of time. May take a little energy. But God has got you. You are in His hands. And you are not a mistake. Your life is not something He didn't plan on. Oh, man, what are we going to do now? God's not doing that. God knows. That's what He's trying to tell us. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you're going to take me into glory. That's what you were saying. It's afterwards. Sometimes right now, it's just, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look right. But God's got a plan. And I'm telling you, this is Old Testament. This is old covenant. This is an old contract with God. We're not under this. Right now, we can experience God's power and presence right now. God has us. Hold on to Him. Look to Him for that joy. Look to Him for that filling. Look to Him for your resources. You've got that in Christ. Because of the cross, it's ours. It's a different economy with us than even these guys, and yet very similar. But where we excel, we know God. His Holy Spirit lives within us. We've been transformed. We've been made new. We are in the presence of Almighty God. And wherever you step, it is holy ground. That's who you are. And you tell your friends that are going through it and worrying and whining and complaining, stop it. You're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror in Christ. You're powerful. You have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no wise touch you. Luke 10:19, that's what it says. That doesn't mean you're going to be the richest person in town. That doesn't mean you're going to be untroubled by life's concerns. That's not what that means. That means in the midst of it, you're going to be fine. In the midst of it, you're going to find the resources you need. In the midst of it, God is going to meet you. It's like those three guys in the furnace. Who was that fourth character? That's you and me. Life sometimes can be a furnace. But don't forget, God is with you. And in the midst of that furnace, and it's in the furnace that's where we find. It's in the furnace that we become really, we can see who we really are. Ooh, melt off the dross and bring the gold to the surface. You may hate your furnace. Let me tell you something. That furnace was called by God, and He's going to use it to bring out the luster, the glory of who you really are. And if you're in Christ, you're pure gold, baby. I mean, that's amazing stuff. Woo! Love this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion forever. Those who are far from you, they're going to perish. You destroy all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my refuge. Right here. I will tell of all your deeds. Not only does he realize in the sanctuary of God, as he's worshiping, that God is his refuge, God is his supply, but he also realizes, and I got to tell people. His last line. And I'm going to tell of your deeds. I got to tell people. I want people to know how glorious my Lord is. That's why this koinonia is so fun. We're telling each other. And when you find somebody who's in this furnace, you can tell them right there, get your eyes on Christ. I know it's a tough thing you're going through. I get it. Let me stand there with you. Let me focus you on Jesus, and together we'll walk through this because we're okay. Amen? We're okay. God's got us. We're not lacking anything. There's nothing this world has to offer us. Nothing. We've got Jesus Christ. Oh, does that make you rejoice? Oh, amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. In Christ, we are full, we are complete. We have everything we need for life and for godliness through our knowledge of Christ Jesus. That's who we are. I thank the Lord for Psalm 73 because it gives me a glimpse of how a holy guy, a mighty guy, can get off track at times. Don't freak out. When your friends are going through it and you've got some Christian friends that have, maybe this was the week, the month, that really startled them, really knocked them off their center, and they started wobbling like a top, getting ready to topple over. And you came up and you said, don't worry, don't panic. God is with you, right? God is with you. You're going to be okay. Sometimes you need a little help. Sometimes somebody can come alongside and kind of be your crutch for a minute. That's okay. We need each other. But in the midst of it all, we have everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Christ Jesus. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It's really important that we know that. And so with that, can we stand together and say a prayer? Thank the Lord for this. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this message, for this glimpse into the heart of a mighty man, a prayerful man, a godly man, who was aware that at times we can get our eyes off of you. And when that happens, it is a catastrophe. And thank you that you're reminding us that whom have we in heaven or on earth but you and you alone. And you are all we need. You are everything we need. We are complete in Christ. And I pray, Lord Jesus, every single one of us, whatever the burden is, whatever the wind and the waves are, in everybody's life right here, right now, in Jesus' name, that you would get their eyes on Christ, and you would calm that storm, and they would see, oh, they would see the riches of Christ in glory, and that those things they would be able to partake in. Oh, bring the peace of God which passes understanding, makes no sense, and yet it's ours in Christ every day. Let it guard our heart and our mind in Jesus. We love you, Lord. And we thank you. May there be peace among all your people right now. Let it just flood our hearts. We take it. We receive it. We let it flood over us. Thank you, Jesus. Almighty God. Whew. You are good. You are wonderful. We praise your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now go play.